Today's episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is the easy-to-use fantasy basketball app that allows you to compete in player versus player fantasy challenges. It's sort of like the Tinder for fantasy sports. So if you're interested in playing, please use the promo code BBALL. That's B-B-A-L-L for a free $25 at sign up. And with that, Daniel, we're off.
Yes, sir.
I think it's important that we announce to everybody that you are the winner of the $1.5 billion Powerball.
Like when I heard the news, it was pretty amazing.
Just tears, right?
I actually fainted. And then I woke up and realized it wasn't true. So yeah, no.
Oh, too bad.
Nice try. Yeah, actually I didn't buy it. Like I may have played the lotto like once in my life.
You didn't buy any tickets, huh?
No, I didn't buy a single ticket. I mean, it's giving away money. So like if I wanted to, you know, lose money, I would just go out of my patio and throw a dollar out the window. Same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. I did not play either, but it didn't stop me from spending more time than I should have discussing what I would do with the money if I won.
I mean, the only thing I don't understand is you hear this, so there were various winners, and like, one of like the, so like one store where a winning lotto ticket was sold, like the owner of that store got $1 million.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But like, I don't get it. Like, what was it? Why did he get it? Like, was that part of the lotto process? Like, I don't understand.
No, I don't know. I guess that's part of the lottery sweepstakes. I don't know if that's so that they advertise for him or something. I don't understand.
Yeah, that confused me. I don't understand why he deserved $1 million. Like, what did he do?
I think it might have been the store itself got the million, the 7-Eleven.
Right, but you mean the chain, like the just the chain in general?
I don't know. I don't know. It might have been that location.
Anyway, I'm sure that was riveting.
They had a party there tonight. I know that.
What's that?
They had a party at the location that,
you know, it was bumping. Yeah, no, it was crazy. Yeah. I saw a bunch of interviews being broadcast from that location.
Seems like a weird party to go to. Like, I would never go to the 7-Eleven to celebrate that somebody else won the lottery.
Yeah, it's very weird. Although he was, and this is no joke, like I almost fell out of my office chair laughing. He was giving away free Slurpees all day.
Very nice. Well, yeah. You got $1 million in your pocket.
I mean,
Did you have a good answer to what you were going to do if you won the lottery money?
No, come on. I didn't think about that at all. It's ridiculous. It's like, no, because it's not.
It's really fun to think about. You're kind of being a Scrooge here a little bit.
Yeah, no, like regarding the lottery, I've always been that way. I've been like, that's I've never really thought about it.
It's not fun for you to think, what if you had $500 million?
Yeah, it's weird. I just don't think like that. No, I guess, I mean, if you would have framed it in a different way, like without the lotto, then maybe I'd think about it. I'm sure I would. Yeah, I don't know what I would do. What would you do? What was your answer?
Put it into a IR. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I was trying to think of the most boring thing I could think of. No, I think my idea was, because you always hear about those people that lose the money immediately, right? And I think you're worried about like the people coming after you. So I think I would definitely take the 30-year payments, so that like
give me the lump sum. That's absurd.
No, you get like a $150 million penalty for taking the lump sum.
Yeah, I want that lump sum. Yeah, if you should know me, I'm instant gratification. I don't think long term. I want the money.
If you take listen to this. So you get like $20 million a year for 30 years. If you blow your $20 million. You get another one next year. It's like winning the lottery every year for 30 years.
Yeah, but no, I want that lump sum. Yeah, give me a lump sum. Give me it all at once.
You're going to blow right through it.
It'd be a fun ride. But like the one thing.
You can blow through it 30 different times.
Yeah, but I mean, I want to blow through the complete. So what would I get? $800 million or something if I won?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd want to blow through that all at once. And plus, in all seriousness, what I would really try to do, and it probably wouldn't even be enough money, would be to try to like own an NBA franchise. But
that seems like a lot of stress to own an NBA team, but it would be fun.
I mean, I can't think of a better job than being like owning an NBA team, or being like the general manager, I guess, wouldn't be as fun because you could get fired. But if you own an NBA team, or I guess any sports franchise, but to own one now, it's so hard. I mean, it's only 30 in the world. So it's,
Well, but I'll tell you this. I actually applied for and did a couple of interviews for an NBA front office position.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. And they did not offer me the job, so I didn't have the chance to accept it. But I got to the point where I kind of decided I wasn't going to accept it because it's a very stressful job. And
can you tell us what team?
Sure. It was the Rockets. So I would have had to move to Houston, which wasn't like ideal. But like job security is very low. Stress level very high. The amount of time you have to put into it, like the amount of effort you have to put into your work, I think is very, very high. And so it just seemed like a very demanding job with very low job security.
So what was like the position though?
It was on the data analyst side. It was to help them make like player acquisition decisions.
I've lost so much respect for you.
Why? They didn't offer me the job. I never actually had to make the decision, but
You would have turned down a position with the Houston Rockets.
At least that's how I'm just
tonight you could have been out with the Kardashian and James Harden. You could have been the third wheel.
So when I interviewed, I actually interviewed with Daryl Morey and Sam Hinkie because Sam Hinkie was there.
Dude, Mark, do you realize the opportunity that you could have had? And also, as I think our listeners know, you're 6'6". Yeah. So on the road, everyone would have thought you're a player. You would have been cleaning up in, you know, lovely women. It would have been.
First of all, I'm married, but thank you. I don't think the analyst travels either. No, and that was actually right before the James Harden trade. So I wasn't even sure if Daryl Morey was going to make it very much longer. So anyway,
that's fascinating though.
It's interesting to think because
how long ago was that?
So it was right before the Harden trade. I think it was in 2012.
It was recently.
3 or 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Wow. Look at you.
Yeah. So, but like, it was interesting because I think growing up, like everybody's like, I would love to be a general manager. I would love like work in front office. But when you start to actually think of the mechanics, okay, like I'm going to move my family to Houston.
Okay. Mark, no offense, Mark, but you're in Idaho.
Yeah.
So what's the wife wouldn't like Houston?
I don't know. We don't know anybody in Houston, right? Like we don't have any roots in Houston. By the way, Wall Street Journal named the city that I live in Idaho, the best city to live in America. So
I want our listeners to weigh in. Should Mark go back and go reapply for that job in Houston and work for the Houston Rockets or continue his life in Idaho?
I actually, when they made the trade for Harden, I sent Daryl Morey a congratulations email.
Wait, so you have his email?
Yeah.
This is fascinating. Does he listen to the podcast?
I doubt it. I doubt it very strongly.
If he doesn't, let me sound more professional now. I've been looking at this data here for the Rockets and
yeah. Anyway,
Patrick Beverley's.
This is not what I intended to talk about. But all of my point was, I think an NBA owner would be an interesting job because there's a lot of perks. I think being a front office person, like you have to be able to work a lot, like really hard for not great pay. And have terrible job security, and that's not for everybody. I don't know that it was for me.
I'd be surprised if the pay wasn't. I mean, I could see where it'd be stressful, and at the end of the day, it's still a job, so it's gonna, you know. But
yeah,
like I would think the pay would still be pretty.
I didn't. We never got that far talking either, but I didn't get the impression that it was a well. I think Daryl Morey makes a lot of money, but I think somebody on his staff.
God, I mean, general managers make
millions.
Yeah, 3-4 million.
But I don't think the data analyst on his staff is necessarily making a lot of money.
Fascinating.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right.
So we teased this on Wednesday. We announced that there are maybe going to be some changes announced on the podcast, and we wanted to share those with everybody today. So first and foremost, Daniel, you are no longer a co-host of the podcast.
I'm not?
Yeah. You know, like it's over. I guest host of the podcast.
I mean, that's all right. I had a good time. I mean, thanks for having me this long. It's like, whatever.
We want to make you an official co-host of the podcast.
You mean it, dude? Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of speechless.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm with you, like, every show I'm with
you. Every show going forward, Daniel and I are going to be on the podcast. Doesn't mean that we won't still have guest hosts on, that other people won't join us, and that occasionally one of us won't be here. But, Daniel, you're now a permanent host of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.
yeah, no, in all seriousness, I just want to say thanks. That's, you know, when me and Mark discussed this, but I mean, a few days ago, maybe a week ago, whenever it was, you know, love being on the show. Awesome working with you. So it's gonna be a fun ride, and I'm just glad, you know, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for having me, man. So that, it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for being awesome. We're hopeful that having permanent, consistent hosts on the podcast will lead to more synthesized analysis coming to the listeners, coming your way. That way we won't have one of our hosts talking about something on one day and then the exact, you know, two different hosts talking to you about something, the exact same thing the next day.
Did you choose me because of my good looks? Was that the deciding factor?
But it didn't hurt your case.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. No question about that. My sex appeal.
Along with that, Daniel and I have been talking about the show, and we feel like we've kind of come to the point in the season where a daily show is not necessarily the most valuable thing for our listeners. So what that means is some weeks we're gonna have five shows a week. Some weeks we're gonna only have three shows a week. Basically, whatever the fantasy content that is out there that we feel like is useful and that we can share and not become mundane and repetitive and that sort of thing, we're going to try to deliver to you. So we'll try to make sure we always have a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday podcast. We'll fill in with the Tuesday and Thursday podcasts as you know, as long as we can keep the content fresh and flowing for the rest of the season. So that's kind of the schedule for the rest of the season. And then, you know, once we start up next season, I'm sure we'll start back with every day we'll have a daily show to help you get ready for your drafts. But the amount of content, frankly, is just ratcheting down. And rather than just repeat it all to you every single day, we're going to try to make sure we keep it fresh. Does that sound like a plan, Daniel?
That does, my friend. But there's a couple other things we need to discuss. Yeah. So, yes. And again, so we're going to be having, so, you know, listeners can basically, you can count on us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right, Mark? Basically,
that's right.
You know, it's a guarantee. And then, like Mark said, we will do some Tuesday and Thursday shows too, which is not every week. But so right now, the name of this lovely, beautiful podcast is the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, and it's a beautiful name, right?
We love it.
We do. But if we're not doing every day,
by the way, I already get crap from our listeners that we don't do a Saturday, Sunday podcast. And so it shouldn't be the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast anyway. And frankly, they're right. So if we're going to consider not doing Tuesday and Thursday podcasts, we definitely probably have to think about changing the name of the podcast.
Yeah. So this is where we need the listeners' help. If we did change the name, we need a new name. And I'm not even going to tell you, pre-show, me and Mark got in some heated arguments because some of the names that Mark wants to use are deplorable.
I think I've shared on this podcast a number of times what I thought the name should have been.
What was that?
It was the Fantasy NBA Holes. But, you know.
Oh, dear God. Listeners, help me out. That's what Mark wants to go with. He wants to go with, what was it again?
Fantasy NBA Holes.
Fantasy NBA Holes. Like, we can do better than that, I think. So, you got to help us out. Tweet us.
Send us an email.
Yeah, emails. Whatever. Any way you can reach us and let us know. Please give us a better name than that. But Mark loves that name.
It's a hilarious name. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it a -5.
The other thing we would like to get back incorporating in the show is music. I know we've had some listeners ask for that. We're definitely in favor of putting a little tune at the beginning. Now, the problem we've had so far is music is not always royalty free. So becomes a little bit tricky legally to use any music that we want. I mean, I think Daniel and I probably each have favorite songs we'd love to use.
Britney Spears. I got my body and my mind on the same page. Good. Now, how was the audio?
Oh,
really bad?
Goodness. We're going to have to cut that out.
Really?
Seriously, you knew that was going to happen, right?
I know, but like in the back of my mind.
Such a disaster.
In the back of my mind, I was just hoping maybe my speaker.
You just gave me 10 more minutes of work.
My speakers would just perform it and it would come out and it would sound okay.
I hate you.
I'm sure it sounded okay. You don't take that out.
I'm taking it out. I have to take it out. And now I have to go through and edit the freaking podcast.
You do not. You keep that in.
And I have to cut it out. And you're going to cost me 10 more minutes of my night.
That 3 seconds, you're gonna edit that out?
Well, no, I got to edit this whole conversation out.
Well, no, I think the combo you should leave in. This is riveting.
So if you have any music that you'd like us to use on the podcast, if you have a suggestion of some music that you'd like to hear, please let us know. Right, Daniel?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a shame. I would prefer, you know, like a Britney Spears song or a One Direction, but I don't think that they'd probably consent to us, you know, letting – actually, I don't know. They might be into that if we used, you know, like Oops, I Did It Again. How funny would that be, right, and clever in a way?
Well,
Oops, I Did It Again, another podcast. It's pretty funny.
You talk to your friend Britney Spears, and then we can figure it out from there.
I'm going
to
figure out since we know Daryl Morey's email, I'm just going to email him. He must know, like, Britney's email. Like, he's got to have lots of music contacts, right?
I'm not giving you Daryl's email.
Oh, yes, you are, my friend. Daryl's going to hook us up. We're going to get a really, really cool song.
All right.
Yeah.
So with that, that's enough housekeeping. I know that's probably boring for you all, but we want to give you a heads up on what's coming down the pike. Hopefully, as Daniel gets going as a permanent host here, we can bring you even better content.
Yeah, because let's be honest, the content like so far has not been that great. It's just it's been subpar the last few months. So listeners, thanks for keeping with us. Dear God,
that's not a very nice thing to say.
I think we've had some okay shows, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I didn't think I was going to be the permanent host, so I was only giving like a 50% effort.
Well, that was pretty clear.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But now, knowing that though, I'm going to be here every day, like I need to like really up my game, like for sure.
Yeah.
Like I know, like usually before each show, Mark sends me about a 5 to 6 page sheet that of things he wants to discuss on the show. Normally, I would just use that for toilet paper, but now I'm gonna actually read that stuff you send me, Mark.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Then maybe we could stay on topic for once.
Well, I can't promise you that.
Okay. And for me, this is 100% for me. So you'll keep getting the same mediocre advice from me. But let's get into it. So on Fridays, we want to have a little more fun. I think in the future, we want to try to do some more interesting things. Maybe incorporate some user questions and discuss some bigger general NBA topics. But I think for this Friday show and this Friday show, maybe only, we are going to hit the fantasy basketball stuff pretty hard. There was a lot of interesting games on Thursday night. Not even a lot of interesting games, but each of the games had some interesting stuff that I think is pretty relevant for fantasy analysis. And that's not always the case. Like sometimes on a Thursday, you'll get 2 or 3 games and, you know, it'll just be like everybody put up their standard stats and played their standard minutes and there's not a lot to read into it. This Thursday was a little bit different. So I think we're going to kind of go a little bit old school here, go box score by box score and talk about some of the performances that we saw.
And I'm sorry, Mark, yeah. Last night, before we head into the fantasy stuff, I just wanted to let the listeners know, cause I've been getting some feedback. I know from my followers and stuff, like towards the end of each show, we're going to try to do a little bit of DFS. I know we really haven't touched upon DFS, which was my original kind of specialty, that I was doing. So the end of each show, if you guys are playing DFS, I'll try to give you some top plays for the next day's slate. And hopefully that will help you out and you can make some money that way. Because I know we haven't been hitting DFS much, but hopefully we can give you a little, you know, give you some plays to give you, so help you in that direction as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marty, go ahead.
Yeah, the first game on Thursday, and I know we talked about this in the podcast, but it caught me off guard again. I was at work. I was just perusing the internet and I realized the Toronto-Orlando game was almost over. And that's because they played the game in London. Which just was exciting. Did you catch any of that game or are you at work too?
No, I was at work, but it killed me. Totally forgot about the London, that there's a London game today. And obviously almost all my leagues, like the lineup, the roster's locked, whenever the first game tips off. So I wanted to make a bunch of moves for tonight And once that London game tipped off, I was, you know, screwed for the rest of the day. So that was, it was frustrating that there was that really early start. Annoying, but it was a really good game, quite honestly.
Yeah, it was very good. Went into overtime. Toronto won 106-103. What stuck out to you in this game? Is there any of the performances that you thought were interesting?
No, I mean, the thing for Orlando, one guy that I was hoping would become relevant, especially as the season progresses, was Aaron Gordon. I'm not sure what your thoughts are. I don't know if me and you have ever really discussed Aaron Gordon. You know, I think by now I know we've discussed Scott Skiles and their rotation and how he's gotten crazy. But, like, Aaron Gordon got 6 minutes today, and Jason Smith, who went nuts, got 36 minutes.
Like, I don't know what happened, if he was sick or something, because his previous
– No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Like, Jason Smith just went nuts today.
No.
Yeah.
And I think we're all susceptible to that with Orlando, with Scott Skiles there. Like, nobody's minutes are safe night to night. But, you know, last seven games or so, he's gotten about 22 minutes a game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was frustrating seeing – I mean – like I like
be terrified of using an Orlando player in DFS, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, Skiles has actually gotten a lot better and pretty consistent, especially when since Elfrid Payton, who I guess he came back today and played but didn't start, came off the bench. But Skiles, I mean, he's actually gotten a lot better recently. I mean, basically he's given Tobias, Vucevic, Fournier, and kind of Oladipo / Payton. Those guys have been pretty consistent. I mean, if you look at the minutes today, it's not like Skiles played, you know, 8-9 guys 20-plus minutes. I mean, the starters got big minutes, and then, Jason Smith went nuts. And that was about it. So Skiles has gotten – it's actually gotten a lot better. I mean, for DFS as well and for season-long, I think. You know, I still think he's wasting – you know, it's just annoying as hell that he's still playing Channing Frye at all. Channing Frye is usually getting around a little over 20 minutes a game and just wasting space. But – like, I'm not a fan of – I mean, I'm not opposed to really using those main guys for Orlando anymore.
No,
and the last thing I'll say about today, I mean, Oladipo – I mean, so if I told you – so Oladipo scored 27 points today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where are we? It was January – what?
14th.
So that's his season high. And when I heard that, I was, like, appalled. Does that surprise you or not?
Well, it would have surprised me preseason. Now, the problem is, and this is what I want to get into, I think this is the most interesting part from the game. I mean, there was a few games ago, right before Payton got hurt, that he played 14 minutes in a game. Now, yep. His minutes were up and down. Sometimes he was in the 30s, sometimes he was in the teens. And then Payton went out, and he started five straight games, and he's played at least 35 minutes in each of those games. And he's averaged over 20 points in those games. He's hit a bunch of three-pointers. He's getting tons of rebounds. Let me just give you his stats for the last four or five games here. The last I'll give you the last three games. He's averaged 21 points, six rebounds, four assists, four three-pointers, two steals, almost a block on 51% shooting. Like, he's been one of the best players over the last week or so. But with Payton coming back from this left ankle injury, I know he only played 20 minutes. Are we going to see it revert back? Do you think we're – I guess I'm asking you to speculate on Scott Skiles' rotation, which is a dangerous thing to do. But I'm nervous that they're going to push Payton back into that bench role where he's not nearly this valuable.
You mean Oladipo back into the bench role?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm worried they're going to push Oladipo back into the bench role and start Payton, and then he's going to be this guy with this great potential, you know, be able to put up those stat lines I just read, but he's going to be playing sometimes 25 minutes off the bench, sometimes 15 minutes off the bench, and he's going to be really hard to own. So right. I don't know. I'm worried about that. Are you concerned about that?
Hell yes. I mean, this is the problem. If you speak to Orlando beat writers, or if you read what's going on in Orlando.
You've been talking to a lot of Orlando beat writers?
All day, my friends. And that's like all it – so I guess what Orlando has decided internally or you know, I don't know if it's management or just the coaching staff, whatever, is that Oladipo and they don't want to play Oladipo and Payton together.
That's clear. That's – I guess I should have prefaced my
– Well, right. So they don't – those two, they're both ball dominant. they just don't play well together. So you
and they don't shoot well. Like neither of them shoot well, and you can't have two guards in the NBA today that don't shoot well.
Correct.
You can get away with one, but you can't get away with two.
Correct. So it's a So I mean, basically, what you said is a major problem. I mean, I can't. You know, no one can get in the wacky bald head of Scott Skiles. So,
although Oladipo, if he's going to make 5 3-pointers a game,
I mean, you would think that Skiles is going to keep going with the hot hand, right? So if Oladipo can stay hot, I can't, like, especially after daylight today, I can't envision him just going and inserting Peyton back into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
But with that said, whenever Oladipo cools off, I could easily see them going back to Peyton. I mean, and then Oladipo's, you know, obviously going to take a hit. So this is a sell high opportunity for if you have Depot, like,
yeah.
Both those guys, though, I mean, out of all the starters, I think Tobias's minutes are fine. Vucevic, for the most part, is fine. And even the Evan Fournier, who I can't stand, his minutes seem to be pretty consistent. But the two guys you got to worry about are Oladipo and Peyton. And that's because I think for the rest of the year, it's just Skiles is going to go with the hot hand. Whichever one gets hot, that's who's going to play late in the fourth quarter. That's who's going to get the more minutes, you know, from that particular night. So that's what you just have to get used to.
See, and I disagree. I think it's a weird situation because Oladipo is probably their best player, but I think they don't want to play him together. And I don't think Oladipo is a point guard. Like, I don't think Skiles views him more that way, and I don't think the organization views him that way. I know they've tried it out, but it basically didn't work. And so I think he can fill in and play backup point guard, but I think Peyton's their best option at point guard. So I think it's more likely than not that they make the switch. Again, we don't know. We're speculating here, but I'm very concerned about Oladipo's value, and I think it's a shame that they're probably going to send him back to the bench, but that would be my expectation. So again, if you can sell high on him, I think that's a great move.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going through these. The Chicago Philadelphia box score. Chicago had quite a scare. They barely pulled this game out in overtime against the Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, Philly was up like 20 at the half. I mean, yeah. Philly was crushing Chicago.
I was texting our buddy Mike Catron and letting him know that his team was about to lose to the Sixers, but the Bulls pulled it out. Jimmy Butler played 49 minutes in overtime, had 53 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 3-pointers. Pretty amazing night. He took 25 free throws.
I think you're burying. I mean, no offense to Jimmy Butler and his amazing career night.
Now listen to this. He took 30 field goals and 25 free throws. So he shot the ball 55 times tonight. That's amazing.
It's insane. Remember, no Pau Gasol tonight, no Derrick Rose tonight, and they were starting Kirk Heinrich and Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah. So you basically had one offensive player.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 1.5 because I left out your boy Mirotić, who had quite the game.
We both kind of agreed that it was a prime opportunity for Mirotić to step up against a bad team without any scorers there. And he promptly turned around and gave us a 1-for-13 from the field, 7 points, 5 rebounds.
Don't sound short, 2-for-13.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, 2-for-13.
Yeah. Like, in all seriousness, this may have been the worst game I've seen NBA player. In terms of who played the worst throughout the season so far, it was either Mirotić tonight or a game that Austin Rivers played when Chris Paul was injured. When on the consecutive possessions, Austin Rivers, one time the ball bounced off his head out of bounds, and the next time it bounced off his foot out of bounds. And I'm not kidding you. That literally happened. So tonight, like Mirotić on 2 straight possessions, he had turnovers, but he just threw the ball like directly to the other team. It was almost like someone, as I told you pre-show, like someone basically was paying Mirotić off to throw the game. It was that bad. He was just, and it was really bizarre. He looked so out of it.
And I think part of the problem is that Fred Hoiberg is still not realized that Mirotić can't play small forward. Like he's a perfect power forward in this environment, and they're trying to make him play small forward, and it just doesn't work on the offensive or defensive side. So, I mean, I think that's partially to blame, but I mean, yeah, if Mirotić can't have a good game against the Sixers with the Bulls were running out, you worry if it's ever going to really come together in a consistent way for him this season.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for a better opportunity with all the Bulls, basically all of their offensive players besides Butler out. a better, you know, a worse defense up that Mirotić was up against tonight. So it was disappointing to see in only 23 minutes. And obviously he was lucky to get those with how bad he played. The other thing that's worth noting is, you know, the corpse that is Kirk Heinrich, you know, starting still and got 35 minutes was whatever. And then my boy, who I told everyone that they should go out and play in DFS tonight, Aaron Brooks, got 6 minutes. I mean, just a debacle. And they ended up going with Etuan Moore, right? That's his first name. Is it Etuan?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, dear God. And he got 26 minutes. So Bulls came away with the win, but just a weird, weird game from the Bulls' perspective. And yeah, like, you know, like you mentioned, Jimmy Butler went berserk and just bonkers.
Good for him. On the other side of this, I want to talk about Robert Covington. I feel like he's come up a lot. We've gotten a lot of questions about him lately, and basically because his performance has slacked off and his playing time likewise has gone down. In the last 2 weeks, last seven games, he's only played 18.6 minutes per game, averaged 8 points, still 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, and almost 0.6 steals per game. Obviously, you can't own that level of production, but he's shown us enough in the past that you kind of feel like you want to hold him because he can be like close to a top 75, top 50 player if he's getting the playing time. Now, in this game, he got 30 minutes, had 25 points, 6 3-pointers, 6 rebounds, and 2 steals. It's a very, you know, that's like on the high end of what you would expect from Robert Covington. So I think there might be some people who want to say like, hey, he's back. He's ready to start producing again. I have a word of warning I want to share with you, Daniel.
Sounds ominous.
Do you follow Haral Bob Vulgaris on Twitter?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He's one of the, I mean, he's a pretty sharp guy. He has a lot of good insights. I think he's a very good follow, professional better. He said he watched all of Robert Covington's 3-point shots from this year and last year. And he said that the reason that Covington is struggling so far this season is he has changed the form on his shot a lot. Now, this isn't something I noticed, but once he pointed out and I was able to go to the NBA.com stats page, it's true. He's not shooting with the same smooth form that he did last season. And so I think I'm tempted. I think if I didn't have that piece of information, I would say, hey, look, Covington's finally back. Like, let's buy in. Or if you've been waiting for him, here's finally your payoff. Now I'm more nervous. I'm kind of thinking this might just be a blip on the radar. Like, he had one good shooting night, but he's probably going to revert back to the Covington that was struggling before this game. What's your take on all that?
I mean, when you told me that, like, that's pretty interesting and concerning, to say the least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chastising the Sixers for not like keeping up their player development if Covington's regressed that badly.
Yeah, I mean, Covington, you know, if I had a list of probably 5-10 most disappointing players this year, Covington would be on that list for me in terms of in fantasy. Like, I don't know what to do with him. Like, he started off the year obviously injured, and then he came back and he came back with just a vengeance, and he was just shooting great.
Like a top 20 player for a while.
For like about a 2-week stretch in there. And then it's just been all downhill since. Mm-hmm. And then they benched him and like, and I will say, like, I thought Ish Smith might actually help Covington. I no longer think that's the case, man. Ish Smith, dear God, 25 shots tonight. Like, you know, he does have games where he gets some assists, but like him and Covington don't seem to be a great fit on the court together. And Covington's only I'm looking right now in ESPN leagues, he's like 34% owned. So, I mean, he's available for the taking.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think I want to go out and get him. I want to see him have at least put together a couple games where he does something. I mean, he does have upside, you know,
But, see, I'm starting to worry about his upside with that this new information.
He's
going to struggle probably with his shot for the rest of the season until he gets that form straightened out. I kind of feel like the payoff that we're all waiting for is less likely to come now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to need to see about a five-game stretch where he's actually, you know, putting up, not only getting consistent minutes, one, and then also just actually like making some shots. It's just, he's been tough to watch. And the other thing I'll say, well, obviously he hasn't been getting a lot of minutes most games, but he just hasn't been taking many shots either, which maybe he's lost a lot of confidence, which could go into what you just said about his form has changed now.
Mm-hmm.
So I like, so a disappointing player. He's obviously on my radar, but I'm not looking to own him right now, even though he obviously had a good game tonight.
No, absolutely. All right. Probably the most other interesting game that I wanted to talk to you about tonight was, and clearly the best game of the night was the Spurs and Cavs. That was a fun game to watch. And, but from a fantasy standpoint, the one with a lot of interesting news was Detroit Memphis. Now Detroit, Detroit dropped this game. They lost 101-103 to Memphis. But there was a lot of different things going on here. First of all, Mike Conley's still out. So Mario Chalmers started and continued to go crazy. Hopefully he took Daniel's advice last show and streamed him. I know I did. And I was rewarded handsomely tonight. He had 25 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, 2 3-pointers, shot 9 of 15 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. Just a all-around really impressive line. That might be the best game of his career, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, he just looked fantastic tonight. I mean,
did you watch some of this game? I didn't catch any of this.
Yeah, he looked so fast. I mean, he was – and first of all, Detroit guards, you know, opposing point guards pretty well. And that's one reason, as we'll talk about in a second, why Reggie Jackson got benched. I mean, Chalmers was just abusing the Pistons' defense. It was impressive. I mean, and it, like the last now 4 or 5 games, he's been getting over 40 minutes a game, which is just, you know, in terms of fantasy, God, that's just, you know, what's more sexy than that when you see one of your players getting that many minutes. So
now just came
through tonight.
Yeah, the other interesting thing that went on here is Jeff Green was out of the starting lineup. Matt Barnes was out of the starting lineup. They both played about 27 minutes. But Tony Allen and Zach Randolph re-entered the starting lineup to go along with Courtney Lee and Marc Gasol. They both played over 30 minutes. Tony Allen had a very Tony Allen night, 2.7 rebounds, 4 steals. Zach Randolph sort of struggled. I expected more out of him in the start. He had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And, you know, Jeff Green, Matt Barnes actually both had pretty good games. What do we take out of all of this? Like, it's a lot of things going on here. I'm not even sure where to go with this.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis is becoming a team that's just, you know, every day when you look at the box score, it's just God only knows what you're going to see.
The only 7 guys who played, those starters and then Barnes and Green, and they barely got anybody else in the game.
And Matt, we should mention, though, Matt Barnes, he was 6 of 7 from the field, but 6 of 6 from 3-point range.
Yeah, really impressive shooting.
He had, in terms of fantasy, just an unreal game and 2 steals to go along with that. So, like, I would, like, a part of me thinks that, like, 6 out of those 7 guys, and I don't want any part of Courtney Lee in terms of fantasy, but all those other guys are, I could make arguments to own all of those. All of those guys, like you said.
And Chalmers, I hope you aren't with me on this, is only worth owning until Conley gets back.
I mean, that's true, but Chalmers' value doesn't go boom. Would boom be the right word?
Bust.
Bust. There you go.
Boom or bust, either one.
Yeah, there you go. But Chalmers doesn't lose all of his value when Conley goes back, when Conley comes back. Like, you've seen, like, come on, I know you didn't watch this game today, but we just mentioned his name, Courtney Lee, right? You can slide Chalmers into Chalmers, and he has played the 2 guard with Conley. So Chalmers can still get some minutes. Like, Courtney Lee is basically, you know, it's a waste of space. I mean, he's a decent defender, but doesn't give
– I want no part of Chalmers after Conley comes back.
And I disagree with you, man. Like, I'm not going to – I think if you want to drop him, that's fine. But he's still going to be getting mid-20 minutes, you know, with Conley. And he can do a lot of different things on the stat sheet. He can get you points, get you some assists, get you some steals, which can be key. So I still think Chalmers has value. I mean, obviously takes a big hit with Conley coming back. But – you know, he still has value. Like, he really does. And the other guys, look, you can make a case to own. Like, I don't mind if you want to own Barnes yet. I mean, Jeff Green may be a guy that I want to drop if he's not starting. But the rest of those guys, I mean, they're all interesting. And you know, the Memphis coach is Coach Yeager. I never can pronounce his name.
Yeah, Dave Yeager.
Yeah, but he keeps that – while the minutes might be – or the starting rotation might change a little, he's only – like you said, he's only playing about 7-8 guys. So they're all going to get mid to high 20s in the minutes. So all interesting players for sure. I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, I think Barnes and Green have pretty low upside, so I'm watching their minutes pretty closely if they're on my team. I said Barnes and Green, right? Jeff Green?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like if their minutes drop at all, they're not really worth owning. I don't want Chalmers when Conley comes back. I mean, I think Gasol's one of the better fantasy players, so you're going to want to obviously keep a hold of him. Zach Randolph's going to have to prove that he's worth owning on a fantasy team because he's had a couple of good games. I know you mentioned that last week, but he's just not putting up consistent enough. He's another pretty low upside guy. He's not putting up consistent enough production for me to feel like I want to stick him in my lineup either. So for me, it's really just Chalmers and Marc Gasol who you want to own. And there's probably one or two other guys that are worth owning, but it depends. I don't want to own them until I know that they're consistently getting minutes.
All right, so what do you think Zach Randolph's ownership is in the standard ESPN league right now?
Probably like 65%.
91.7%.
Wow. And see, I think it should be 20.
See, I think it should be around 50% at this point, yeah, based off of the last week. But before the last week, it should have been about 20. The 92% for someone who's, you know, well, I guess in the season, he's averaging 14 points, 8 boards.
He really only helps you in one category.
Well, points and rebounds too, right?
Well, what does 14 points really help you?
I mean, it's
it doesn't hurt you, but well, I don't think he's good at that category. It would be like somebody who averaged like, you know, one steal a game. It doesn't help you. It doesn't hurt you.
I guess. I mean, normally, I mean, Zach used to be good at points, rebounds, and field goal percentage.
Yep.
And he's not bad at free throw percentage either, quite honestly. But clearly, clearly a down year. But
he's basically just helping you at rebounds, and I feel like a lot of people can do that. So,
but the points the last 2 weeks have looked good. And he was coming off an injury, so
he is scoring better. But you have to remember those points this last week. All of those three games where he scored 25 plus points or whatever, that's how he's at 14 points for the season.
Right.
Like it would have been 13 or something if those games weren't there. So maybe 12 and a half.
So who would you, if you had to choose between Randolph, Green, Barnes, which one would you own?
Oh man. I'm frankly not sure I want any of them. And it depends a little bit, like, on what your team needs are, right? Like, if I want steals and three-pointers.
All right, let me rephrase. Just upside between those three guys, rest of the year.
Upside, I guess
it's tough.
I don't even know how to answer that question.
Yeah, it's not an easy question.
I feel like none of the above, to quote Brewster's Millions, one of my favorite movies. I want to go with none of the above.
Like, I want to know how many of our listeners you think have seen that movie.
Probably less than 2%.
Right? Because, like, when was that movie made?
It's a very old movie.
Was it the 80s? Because I've seen it. I'm old, though. Was it the 80s? Or I think it was the 80s. Late 80s? Or early 90s?
It's on cable a lot. So, in 1985. It actually is older than I am. But
wow, 85. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's old, man.
Yeah. 30 years old. Anyway, I'm going with none of the above. I don't think any of them have high upside. I just think if one of them is going to get 32 minutes a game or something like that, you can own them. But other than that, I'm not really interested. Now, probably even the interesting part of this game than the Memphis side was the Detroit side. You mentioned this already. Reggie Jackson had 12.6 assists, so nothing too alarming there. But he only played 24 minutes. And got benched, as you mentioned. Brandon Jennings came in. He played 24 minutes, had 10 points, 3 assists, 2 3-pointers. You actually watched this game. What's your take? Do you think this is indicative of something to come, or do you think this is just one bad game for Reggie Jackson?
Well, I'm trying to pull up Reggie Jackson's game log because this is not the first time this year, this week, you know, that Stan Van has limited Reggie's minutes. Like Reggie's, like, and again, I keep going with the first name. But Reggie Jackson, like his usage rate is fantastic in terms of season long. You want to play him at DFS. But like the minutes are not always there. Like just look at his game log, man. The last five games, 24, 31, 33, 31, 26. Like Stan Van likes to play his starters big minutes. Like out of all the starters, like Reggie's been getting the lowest amount of minutes lately. So
we've talked about this a lot on the podcast for a long time about how he actually limits his point guard minutes. He did it in Orlando always. He rarely had a point guard average over 30 minutes per game.
Even when he had the Jameer Nelson, he was limiting Jameer.
Yeah, absolutely. Go look up Jameer's stats. He rarely had a guard play. I think it was one time he had Vince Carter play over 30 minutes a game. And other than that, he kept him in the 20s. So the fact that Reggie Jackson is at 31 minutes per game is pretty remarkable, I think.
But like that's at 31 minutes, but like that's earlier in the year, there were games he was getting 40 minutes. So it's a little bit skewed.
It is. You're right. So I wonder if he's kind of pulling back the reins and getting him more into that.
I mean, I'm looking at his game. Like, that's a game logs. I'm looking at his game logs and there's a lot of 20s. Like it's, so it's like, I mean, I'm not nervous that Brandon Jennings is going to overtake Reggie Jackson in the starting lineup, but like Stan Van, you know, he doesn't
care. But it could be like 27 minutes for Reggie Jackson, 21 minutes for Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, it could be. And if Jennings gets hot, I'm easily could see Stan Van Gundy just keeping in Jennings for that game. First of all, the one thing that's interesting about Detroit, like Stan Van Gundy, he's the general manager too. So he's got all the power in the world. He can do whatever the hell he wants with that lineup. So, like, luckily I don't have Reggie Jackson anywhere because if I did, I'd be a little worried. And, you know, game to game, he's going to vary. I mean, you know, his production is going to go up and down the rest of the season. I think his starting job is secure, but if Brandon Jennings gets hot, you know, he could easily, you know, get more minutes than Reggie Jackson in any given game.
Totally agree. So that has me worried about Reggie Jackson's value for the rest of the season.
I mean, so what are your thoughts on Jennings? Is he in any way becoming ownable or no? Because it's going to be way too.
I don't think like in a 12-team league. I think if you're playing in a 14-team or a 16-team league, he does have some upside. He's been a very good fantasy player in the past. Even last season on a per-game basis, he was basically a top 50 player. He averaged 15 points, 6.5 assists, 2 3-pointers, 1 steal. Shoots poor percentage from the field, but he can really fill up the stat sheet. So
yeah, it was a shame. Like he got injured right when he was starting to really figure out Stan Van Gundy's system. So it was like it was bad timing for him because he may be a good fit, and that also then again would hurt Reggie Jackson. And I don't know. I was trying to think, could you play Reggie Jackson and Jennings together?
Not if you care about. No, I don't think so. I was trying to make a case for it on the that offensively it might work, but not defensively. But I don't think it would work offensively either.
Right, be like having two little people as your guards. But I think
what you'd have to do is you basically have to turn Brandon Jennings into a spot up shooter, and I'm not sure that's a good role for him.
Right, like I could see him playing the two. I mean, he is a scorer.
I think Jennings could work in certain point guard double point guard lineups, but. As you mentioned, Reggie Jackson is so ball dominant and Jennings tends to be that way. I don't think it would be a good match for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be intriguing though, just from an offensive perspective, you know?
Yeah.
But defensively it would be.
Well, and defensively it wouldn't work.
It'd be a disaster.
Yeah, it really would. No, I'm okay with picking him up in deeper leagues, hoping that – I think what you're mostly hoping is that he gets traded to the Knicks or a team that needs a point guard.
Knicks would be very intriguing.
Yeah. All right, Daniel. There's a couple other games for Thursday night, but I think we hit on the major topics there. I want to move into our no halftime segment.
Before we do that, I just want to give you and our listeners some information about Daryl Morey. So his wife is named Carol. That's not his wife. That's his predecessor. Wait, does that make sense? It says his predecessor was Carol Dawson.
Yeah.
So the Rockets had a woman general manager?
No, I think Carroll can be a male name.
Whoa, hold on. Carroll's a man's name?
Can be. Sure.
I've never heard Carroll as a man. I mean, maybe a last name. Interesting. I'm learning all kinds of things on the show today. Yeah, you're right. So Daryl is a man. I thought that was his wife. That's his predecessor. His spouse, guess what his spouse's name is?
I am pretty sure nobody cares about what his spouse's name is.
No, you will when I say it. Barkley. Okay. Barkley.
Nice.
Like, how weird is that? So you could have been working for an organization with Daryl Morey and his lovely wife, Barkley, hopefully not Charles Barkley, with a predecessor of Carroll Dawson. And he went to Northwestern University, and he's from my home state. He's from Baraboo, which I've never heard of. Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
They chose a better candidate than me.
I think every show I'm just going to give you and the audience some of a Daryl Morey's dad.
Daryl Morey Travey.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So
no halftime.
Yeah. No halftime. Obviously, our premier sponsor here on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We want to.
Wait, Mark, before we do that,
yeah,
I just want to get your thoughts on Kobe Bryant real quick. Sorry. I think this is important for our listeners too. Like, just what do you do with this guy? Like, I mean, everything coming out of LA is like, you know, I think it was yesterday, the trainer basically said, Kobe needs to be shut down for 1 to 2 weeks. Then Kobe basically said, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to play. They asked Byron Scott, like, shouldn't you listen to the trainer? And Byron basically, and like, this is almost a direct quote. Byron's basically like, I'm just going to let Kobe do what he wants. It's his last year. Like, it's just like a circus there in terms of like the structure. It's basically Kobe can do literally whatever the hell he wants.
No, like, I mean, I don't know what we need to comment on, and that's exactly what's going on.
Well, no, it could be because like if you own him, like what do you do? Like he's clearly banged up. Like, you know, he's sitting out, you know, some home games because I think he wants to play in all the road games. But I've gotten a lot of questions.
Last like 8 games that he set out have all been home games, and he hasn't set out any road games.
So, but to you, is he should he be owned in leagues or no? Just no. You want no part of him.
I think you have to have a specific. I own him in one league, and my punt strategy in that league is to punt field goal percentage. And actually, in that league, he's been pretty valuable. Like, he's getting me 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1 steal, 2 3-pointers. He's shooting 35%, but again, I don't care about field goal percentage, so I've been happy to have him. It may come to a point in the season if he's sitting out enough games, like if he gets to the point where he's sitting out all of the road games, or excuse me, all the home games and only playing road games, they have to think about dropping him, but I'm not at that point in that league yet. If you've got him in a league where you care about field goal percentage, I don't know how you've held on to him at this point.
You know, there's no way if you care about field goal percentage that you still could own Kobe Bryant, no. Right? It's not feasible.
No,
but he's still owned in 87% of ESPN. I mean, he's owned in 87% of ESPN leagues.
And I'm guessing all 87% of people aren't punting field goal percentage.
Well, so. they should be because there's no way they can be winning.
Well, they actually are, but they just don't know it. But
yeah, the rest of their lineup would need to be DeAndre Jordan, Whiteside, it'd be like all the centers or people who shoot, you know. 60%, yeah. But all right. So I had to get that in there for our listeners.
I do think that Kobe would be an excellent candidate to go against in no halftime challenge, though.
Oh, nice little segue, my friend.
Yeah, you like that? I've been working on my segues.
I do like that.
No, seriously though, I think, you know, as he's banged up, like we're not finished with this game, but he only has 8 points midway through the fourth quarter against the Golden State Warriors. I think as he's banged up, that field goal percentage is going to go down. I think he's going to be able to get less, you know, less rebounds, less assists. So, you know, I feel like you could pick a pretty mediocre player to go up against Kobe Bryant and get a lot of takers who maybe don't think Kobe's elite anymore, but think he's at least better than, I don't know, throw out a name like Rodney Hood or something.
Dude, look, just because Kobe still has so much name value. And like you said, when he was playing, he was putting up decent numbers. Like, mm-hmm. I would throw out some, like, Klay Thompson versus Kobe Bryant's.
Yeah. You
could probably get a little, like, some action on that from some people.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure. But like I said, even if you want to go a little lower key. And, you know, Rodney Hood is like a shooting guard I thought of, but I think there's a lot of different players that you could go with.
Just don't go Danny Green. It's like,
Mario Chalmers next time that if
my guard, yeah,
I think that would be an excellent. In fact, I think that is going to be our recommendation.
As long as you start, yeah.
If Mike Conley's out, put in Mario Chalmers, go against Kobe Bryant. I think you'll get a lot of action. And I think, like, what would you say the probability is that you win that matchup? Like 90%?
Chalmers versus Kobe?
Yeah.
I'd put it like 75%.
Okay. You're a little less confident than I am, but I think it's pretty likely to pay out for you.
Well, 75% is pretty likely. I mean, that's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah. I went higher. I thought it was like 90.
I mean, maybe 80. I'll go a little bit higher.
Okay. I'll compromise.
Cause like, I mean, it's still Mario Chalmers, right? I mean, it's not like, as great as he's playing. I mean, the thing that makes it almost a lock is just Chalmers just lock and load 40 minutes.
Right.
When you get 40 minutes, you're going to accumulate stats.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I think that's our show for today, Daniel. Want to remind all the listeners, if you have a suggestion on what we should call the podcast going forward, please email us or tweet us. If you have a song that you think that we can actually use on the podcast, please let us know. Please tweet at Daniel and tell him, thank him for being willing to host the podcast. Tell him that you're excited that he's going to be on here for the rest of the season at least.
Or you could say you're disappointed and you would have preferred someone else.
You can send those to me.
I can handle it. If you would have preferred that. Or if you still miss Kyle. I miss Kyle.
No, we all miss Kyle. Well, I think we'd all give up our spot. It'd be like Rudy, right? Like where they go in and hand in their uniforms so that
That is so true.
I would totally hand in my microphone if Kyle could come back and talk to you guys every day.
By the way, did you see that commercial like over?
Yeah, it was really good.
Was it during the national championship game in college football when they I don't even remember who was in the commercial. Was it Joe Montana, Bo Jackson,
right?
And then they were, you know, they were just, God, we're not doing a very good job of explaining the commercial. But they basically saw, you know, they were having like a video conference with the guy who played Rudy.
Yeah.
You know, who, by the way, Rudy's been out. It's like 20 years old now.
We're making movie references that probably nobody remembers. Yeah,
that's true. No one probably, no. All right. People must have seen the movie Rudy though. Right. I'd put that at least like 75% of our listeners have seen Rudy. Don't you think?
I hope so.
One of the best sports movies out there. Anyway, they were doing like a video conference call with the guy who played Rudy, and they kept calling him, you know, Rudy instead of his real name, who was just like Sean something.
Sean Astin.
Yeah, and didn't he play a Hobbit in like Lord of the Rings or one of those movies?
I'm not really into the Hobbit series, but I think he was in one of those.
He was in Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. Basically, anytime you need like a little man, little person, he plays one of the roles. If that makes sense.
All right, Daniel, is there anything else we need to hit on before we sign off here?
I mean, I think we left on just an amazing note by me describing that commercial. No, I was just going to say Sacramento beat Utah tonight. That was interesting to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I also saw something that, like in the Sacramento Bee, that Rudy Gay. You see what I'm doing here, don't you, Mark?
What are you doing?
So before the show, I'm going to reveal some. Now since I'm a permanent host, I feel like I can reveal some of Mark's tricks. So before the show, Mark told me he wanted to have a short podcast. Because Mark's got, you know, he's got a burgeoning family. He works all day. He's exhausted. So Mark wants to wrap it up, but I keep like asking you about players because I want to go longer. All right, so are you a little mad at me now that I revealed my strategy?
No, in fact, I can cut that out if I want to. let me leave you on this note.
Hold on, Mark. I really do want to talk about this for a second. Sorry, but so the Sacramento Bee said Rudy that they're trying to trade Rudy Gay. Thoughts?
Interesting. No, that's interesting. I hadn't seen that. I'll have to go look.
They said they offered Rudy Gay for Ryan Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
And New Orleans turned it down?
Yeah, New Orleans turned it down.
That's surprising.
I thought so too. Although
they just don't want to build around Gay.
Well, I could see what, because I mean, Sacramento does need to space the floor, right? I mean, like, they need shooters. I mean, around Cousins.
But Rudy Gay is a good shooting. Like, if you want a shooting power forward, I feel like he's just as good option as Ryan Anderson.
I mean, yeah, but he can't really shoot. He's not really a shooter, you know.
He's not a dead eye shooter like Ryan Anderson, but he's a serviceable shooter, and he can do other things better than Ryan Anderson. So I'm surprised they would want to make that move.
Yeah, I mean, that's all Ryan Anderson can do is shoot.
Yeah, that's literally it. All right, so let me leave you with this nugget for the end of the podcast. Steph Curry had his second dunk of the season on Thursday night. His first dunk came on November 14th against the Brooklyn Nets. That's via Mark Stein, senior NBA writer.
I have a better stat for you via Mike Gallagher from Twitter. Guess who? Guess what Danny Green is, his percentages on dunks this year? Because he missed a dunk in the first quarter today.
What is that?
He's had four dunk attempts. How many has he made?
Two.
He's 1 for 4. Wow. 1 for 4 on dunks this year.
You got to leave the podcast on such a sour note.
Well, that's also my name. You know, I feel horrible. And Danny Green, like, you know, I know we've talked about him on the show numerous times. Like, just he's become like just such. I mean, he's still a lockdown defender, and that's why he gets any minutes. But it's like he forgot how to play basketball offensively. It's just so bizarre. I don't get it.
All right, guys. We'll be back on Monday with a new version of the podcast or a new episode of the podcast. Until then, hopefully you can enjoy some basketball and have a good weekend. We'll talk to you then. Bye.